Well, who are the people in your neighbourhood? I grew up watching Sesame Street, and while I don't remember a lot of it from when I was young, I've got a younger brother and sister. My brother is 5 and a bit years younger than me, and my sister is 8 and a bit years younger than me. And I remember watching Sesame Street occasionally from a distance while they were watching it. Just the other morning when Dave and I were out walking, which we do most mornings together, it was about 6:05, and we were walking in Asquith Avenue in Winston Hills. Pleased to know I knew exactly where I was and I wasn't getting lost. But we were walking and we were actually talking about today, and we were talking about the new neighbourhood that we now live in, and I started to sing this song that says... oh, who are the people in your neighbourhood? Do you know this song from Sesame Street? In your neighbourhood, in your neighbourhood. Oh, who are the people in your neighbourhood? The people that you meet each day. Dave was really thrilled at my singing at 6 o'clock in the morning, as you can imagine. But I started to think about the people in my neighbourhood and was thinking again about this series that we commenced last week titled How to Neighbour. Sarah shared with us from Luke chapter 10, from the story of the Good Samaritan, the story that Jesus told, and how we can be good neighbours to our brothers and sisters from around the world who are now living in Australia. And today we continue to look at the people in our neighbourhood and how we can best be Jesus in our community. Not just around our new church home here at Church Street, but also in the areas where we find ourselves each and every day. When Jesus was here on earth as a man ministering, he spent 3 years showing love and compassion to some of the most marginalised and outcast in society. He dined with tax collectors. He spoke with the adulterous woman at the well and changed her life. He healed lepers. He noticed the widows. At one point, Jesus actually asked the disciples to back off and allow the children to come to him. He never discriminated, and he never expected to be repaid. So who are the people in our neighbourhood this week that we want to have a look at? Well, they are the orphans. UNICEF and Global Partners define an orphan as a child under 18 years of age who has lost one or both parents to any cause of death. By this definition, there were nearly 140 million orphans globally in 2015. 140 million. Evidence shows that the vast majority of orphans are living with a surviving grandparent or another family member. And 95% of all orphans are over the age of 5. But let me give you some slightly different statistics based on an Australian perspective. During 2018-19, there were 170,200 children who received child protection services, either investigation, care and protection orders, and perhaps they were in out-of-home care. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island children were 8 times as likely as non-Indigenous children to have received child protection services. And as of June 2019, in a report that was released in March last year, approximately 44,900 children were in out-of-home care in Australia. 92% of these were in home-based care, foster care. Most of the children in out-of-home care were on care and protection orders. And actually 67% of them had continuously been in out-of-home care for 2 or more years. Well, yes, the true definition of an orphan is a child who has lost one or both parents, according to UNICEF. This morning, I want us to broaden our thinking to include children and young people in our community who may have been abandoned, kids who need extra support, those young people who need to be loved and to know that there is somebody who wants them to succeed in life. Throughout Scripture, there are many references to orphans, or in some translations, these children are referred to as fatherless. And as you go through these verses, there are many of them where we are either reminded of how God cares for them or how we, as followers of Jesus, are instructed to care for them. Psalm 146 says, "The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked." Or in Job 29, we read, "I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to assist them." Or in Exodus, it says, "Do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless." And then there's this fantastic verse in James chapter 1, verse 27, that says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." I love the book of James. It's full of wonderful practical teaching. I like to think that I'm a practical person, and the teaching is easy to understand. James tells us how we can be living and how we can be better influencing the world. All through his book, James challenges us to live lives of holiness, but not holiness for the sake of it, but holiness that is to be lived out in the world. We're not to be holy to come and sit here with other Christians, our brothers and sisters, and just worship God in this place, although I love to be able to do that and it's really good. But we need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in our neighbourhoods. And in this first chapter of James, this is exactly what he is encouraging us to do. Don't just listen to God's word, he says in verse 22 of chapter 1. Do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Do what it says. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. This is very specific from James. He doesn't speak about general kindness that anyone can show, but rather he highlights the heart of God, referring to a verse that is from Psalm 68 that says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling." But why would James be so specific about orphans? Seems to me that he could have mentioned any marginalised group in the community: the poor, the lonely, the prisoners, the addicted. And as I looked at Scripture and I read through various chapters and verses and I did some further reading, one thing that I read really impressed on me and stuck with me. And it said, to care for orphans can be far more costly than other concerns. In many cases, people who care for orphans become pseudo-parents. Caring for children is time-consuming. It's costly, both emotionally and financially. And think about it. What can an orphan repay? In most cases, it's absolutely nothing. So as Christians, what can we be doing? The figures are overwhelming, and I found myself at times during the week wondering why on earth we would bother sometimes. How are we going to make a difference? The needs are complex and diverse, but yet we are still called to care for the orphans. But this is where my broader definition comes in, to include children and young people in our community who may have been abandoned, kids who need extra support, who need to be loved, who need to know that there are people who care for them, who want them to succeed in life. Have you ever considered becoming a foster carer? Don't shoot me down immediately, because Australia desperately needs more foster carers. While it's not for everyone, it may be for you, and if God is placing this on your heart, pray about it. When we arrived in Adelaide just over 6 years ago, we met one of the most amazing women I have ever met, and I'm not actually even exaggerating. This beautiful lady who is in her 70s was, until just a few years ago, still fostering newborn babies. She had fostered more than 100 babies, some for days, some for weeks or months, and she cared for them in such a beautiful, loving way. Babies that were not necessarily orphans, but these children had been abandoned by their parents, or who had parents who were unable to care for them, again, for a multitude of reasons. This woman would take them in and love them as her own. I have no doubt that fostering children is an option for someone here today. Other things we could be doing. Have you ever thought about helping out at a local school? Both Dave and I have worked in schools, both as paid employees of what was then the Victorian Education Department, and then as Salvation Army officers. When we were in Geelong, we were very involved in some of the local schools. And I can tell you that there are so many kids in schools that need extra support. They need help academically. They don't have parents who'll sit and help them with their homework. They need people to believe in them. They need to learn social and life skills that sometimes can't be taught in a classroom. They need a safe place where they feel loved. What about volunteering at a hospital where some children spend months battling significant health issues? Organisations such as the Starlight Foundation do an amazing job in these environments. You could volunteer for the Smith family as a learning club tutor where adults help kids after school with homework, tasks and social skills. It's a time commitment of 1 to 2 hours per week. I understand that some of you may be concerned that I am promoting other organisations, but I believe, just as James did, that for us to have the greatest impact in the community, we need to live our life of holiness out in the world. We're not called just to keep it to ourselves or just keep it here in our faith community. On Thursday night just gone, we held our second leadership team for 2021. We meet in the boardroom just up the stairs. And one of the agenda items that we discussed was the positive number of people that we had come forward a couple of weeks ago who offered to serve and volunteer as part of the mission and ministry of Parramatta. It was a great conversation. It was great discussion to have. But our discussion went further than the numbers, further than the fantastic programs that we already have operating out of this place. We started to talk about the things that we could be doing. We dared to dream a little. Perhaps we could run a kids' club for kids in our area. You don't have to walk too far out of this building to see children. What if we had a leader and we could start up the playgroup again? We have some 20 to 30 names of families who would love to be able to come to a playgroup. What if we could go into the local schools and say, hey, we're the Selvos and we're here to help you add value to these kids' lives? What if we could start a homework group or a music program? What if? But why? Why would we want to do all of this? We heard from Scripture that James instructs us to look after the orphans, the children who do life tough. And I've shared other scriptures with you that reveal the heart of God. But let me give you another reason. Earlier, Glenn read to us from the Psalms, and as you get to know me, you'll discover that I love the Psalms. And Psalm 139 is so powerful, and it describes the depth and knowledge that our Heavenly Father has for everyone, all of us. All the people outside of this place, even the children. Before we were even formed, he knew us. Before the orphans were formed, he knew them. Before the almost 45,000 kids in Australia who are in and out of home care were formed, God knew them. He still knows them and he still loves them. Before the hungry child at the local school just down here, less than 500 metres from this place, was formed, God knew them too. This is why. For God created their inmost beings. He knit them together in their mother's wombs. I praise you, God, because they are fearfully and wonderfully made. His works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Their frames were not hidden from him when they were made in the secret place, when they were woven together in the depths of the earth. God's eyes saw their unformed bodies. All the days ordained for them are written in his book, even before one of them came to be. All of these kids, the orphans, the abandoned, the neglected, the unloved, they are all known by God. And God loves them. He knows their name. They matter to him no matter where they are. And therefore, they should matter to us. Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father. You are our Heavenly Father. You're a God who loves us, a God who knows us, a God who cares for us. God, we thank you that that truth is not just for those people who know you and who know the love of Jesus. But we thank you because you know everybody. Those people who hardly even know that you exist are still known by you. Lord, I pray that as we continue to be good neighbours, that we would embrace all people, no matter their race, their religion, their age, their family status. that we would be willing to step out and to engage with the children and the young people in our community. Lord, I pray that you would reveal that to us, not only as a corporate body of Christ, but you would reveal it to us as individuals. There is great work to be done. And we continue to pray that you will raise up this place as a beacon of light in the Parramatta community, and that we would be bold enough to hear what you are asking us to do, but even bolder to step out. Reveal to us how we can reach these children who so desperately need to be loved. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you know us. Thank you that you care for us and that we can call you Father. Amen.